Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf tonight. I know that, and I want to thank Rabbi Dr. Barak Greenfield for doing the Daf on Monday night, and Aaron Moshe Kirsch for doing the Daf last night. I'll do a little Chazara from last night, and that'll be it. So we're on Sadi Tet 99b, Sadi Tet Amid Beis, page 198. I'll begin 10 lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Asarayin Chokhilim Truma Veda Goranot. So the Tana of the Brisa says there are 10 people, most of whom are entitled to truma, but we don't give them truma in the Beit HaGranon. Beit HaGranon is a granary. We don't do it in a public fashion. And we're going to go through each of the items and we'll explain why we don't give it to each one. The Elohein, Cherish Shotevakatan. So the first three is that's a group that goes throughout Shas. The Cherish is the deaf mute. The Shote is the insane person. And the Katan is the minor. So we don't, and the Gemara will explain why we don't give it to them. Tum Tum Vandroginus, that's number 4 and 5. So Tum Tum is the person whose genitalia are covered over. We don't know if he's male or female. And Androginus, he's got both male and female. But Eved is an Eved Kanani, and it means an Eved of a Kohen. So even though the Eved of the Kohen eats Truma, we don't give it to him. Baha Isha, that means a woman who's the wife of a Kohen, but we wouldn't give it to her. Baha Arel, a Kohen who's uncircumcised, but he's uncircumcised because his brother's didn't survive Bris Mila. Baha Tamei, if a Kohen is Tamei, we don't give him the Truma. But Osei Isha Sheino Genotlo, or a Kohen who's married to an improper woman, who is married to a Grusha or a Chalutza, we don't give him the Truma Beta Goranot. The Kulan Meshakram Levatehen, the Tana Brice says, in all cases, we would send the Truma, by parcel post to their homes, Chutz Mi Tamei Benosei Isha Sheino Genotlo, except for the person who's Tamei, and the Kohen is married to a woman that's not proper. Okay, that's the Brisa so far. And now we'll take apart the Brisa. So the Gemara says, B'shlema Cherish V'shotu V'katan La B'nei Deya Ninu. So the Gemara says, the first three individuals, which are the Cherish V'shotu V'katan, the deaf mute, the insane person, and the Katan, the minor, they're La B'nei Deya. They don't have full mental capacity. And Rashi says on the bottom line, V'zilutu Truma La Chalekman B'goran La Inkol. It's degrading for the Truma, to give them truma in front of everybody to people who don't have full mental capacity. That's what the Gemara says. Then tum tum vandroginus nami. Now, with tum tum, we said, is the person whose genitalia are covered over. And androginus, he's got both male and female. They as well. Biri bifnei atzma. There are biri bifnei atzma. And Rashi says, vahavis lut the kachim. Now, biri bifnei atzma seems to apply more for the androginus. He's got both elements. The tum tum, he's got, could be male, could be female. We don't know what it is. But if he's a male, he's an uncircumcised male. So that's the problem he has with that. Let's see further. Eved nami dilma atla suki mitrum liyuchsin. So with the Eved, we're afraid that if people see me giving truma to an Eved Kanani in the Beit HaGaranot, they'll think he's a Kohen. And then they'll come to, elevate his status as like a Kohen as opposed to being an Eved. He says, then, Arel Batame Mishum Demeisi. Now the Arel, the uncircumcised Kohen, and the Kohen who's Tame, they're repulsive. In other words, it's like, they have the state of Tuma, and or they don't have a Bris Mila. Now they're a little bit different one from another, as we'll come to see, because the Tana of the Brisa said that there's a chiluk between both of them, because the Tame, we don't send him Truma at all. We're revoking his right to receive truma, but the Ariel we do give truma, we just do it on the Shtoller Hate. So we'll see. No se isha sheino genet lo. So if a man is married to a woman, he's a Kohen, but he's married to, say, Grusha or a Chalutza, Mishum Kenasa. That's a rabbinic penalty that, that's it. On a Torah level, he's still entitled to his truma. But rabbinically, we don't give him truma anymore. Okay. Ella isha maitaima lo. But with the woman, what's wrong with giving truma to the wife of a Kohen who shows up in the Beit HaGaranot? So we're on line 5 on Kuf Amud Aleph. Okay, so it did. So please, so it's 7:15 now. Okay, so Pliki Bar Rav Papa Rav Huna B'Reged Rav Yeshua. There's a machloket between Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Reged Rav Yeshua. Chadamar Mishum Grusha v'Chadamar Mishum Yichud. So one says the reason we don't give it to the wife of a Kohen is because we're afraid if we start giving it to wives of Kohenim, at a certain point in time, they may get divorced. And they won't tell us or whatever. And then we'll still give them the truma. We'll run into problems. And the other one says, no, the reason we don't give it to the wife of a Kohen because we're afraid of yichud. In other words, the beit hagar note is in a like secluded place. The guy will be alone with the woman. It's like pasnish, and it's against halacha to be alone with a woman. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between whether I say it's because of grusha or because of yichud? So ikabeinai beidare the mekarv lamata v'lo shchicha b'hu inchi. So one nafkamina would be if I have a granary which is close to the city. So when it's close to the city, we take it that they're hooked up to the latest updates on who's married, who's not married. So they know. So then I would know whether the person's whether the woman's still married or not to the kohen. But there aren't a lot of people there. So if that's the case, and on the side he corrects, so then according to the one who says the reason is because of grusha, that wouldn't apply. The one who says yichud, that would apply, still wouldn't do it. Inami, or in the alternative, the Gemara says, the marachek ushchichi ba inchi. Or it's the opposite, that the beit hagranot is far away from the city. So in Achinami, you don't know who's a grusha, who's not a grusha, but there's a lot of people floating around there. Okay, so around 10 lines down on Kufam and Aleph, I'll pause in just a few lines. Welcome, Dr. Frank. Okay. Bekulon, Mishagrin lehen lebatein, chutzmi tabi v'nosi isha shena hugenetlo. So the Tana of the Brisa says that in all instances, even for the people, we left the 10 people that we don't give Truman the beit hagranot. So the Tana Brai said all of them we would send them like a care package with the truma. We don't publicly give it to them, but we would do it privately, except for two of them, the Gemara says. And that's if he's a Kohen who's Tame, or it's an Isha Shein Ogenalo, or the Kohen is married to a woman that he shouldn't be married to, like the Grusha or Chalutza. So the Gemara says, Aval Arel Mishagrinale. But the Arel, and the Arel cannot eat truma. He's an Arel. He's a Kohen that doesn't have bris milah. And even though there's a reason why he eat it. We would still send him a care package to the Arel. So if you remember, we said above that the So the Gemara said on line two, Arel Tame Mishum to be easy. So the Arel and Tame, we don't give them Truma. Because they're repulsive, because one's an Arel, one's a Tame. So the Tame person, we totally revoke his right to Truma. But the Arel will send him the Truma, the care package of the house. And the idea is he still can't eat it, but he'll give it to the other members of his household that he could do. Let's say he's an Arel, he's married, he's giving it to his wife, or in his Avadim, but he just can't eat it. So the Gemara says, my Taima. So what's the reason that that the Arel, we sent it to him? He's from the Anis. So the Gemara says, because it's like we have Rachmanis on him, it's like he's Me'isi, but his circumstances beyond his control. His brother died from bris milah, so he couldn't help it. So the Gemara says, Tami Nami Ha'anis. So the Tame person, a regular Kohen who's Tame, is also a type of onus. We assume he became Tame through no fault of his own. Let's say, he was driving along the expressway and there was a, and then he passed under, there was an overpass and there was a hearse next to him. So he became Tame. So, but in his case, we don't give him anything. So how come one totally revoked from the right to Truma? That's the Kohen who's Tame, but the Arel not. So the Gemara, even though they're both Me'isi, they're both repulsive, is what the Gemara says it. Hai nafish onse, v'hai lo nafish onse. Then all onus isn't quite the same. So the Kohen who's an Arel, he's got a high level of onus. He really couldn't help the situation. In other words, his brother died. That's 100% onus. He can't go forward with bris milah. Person who's Tame is honest, but maybe if he had been more careful, it wouldn't have been in that situation. Okay, let me just pause for a second, take some questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far. Okay, what's up? Aaron Moshe, you want to say something?
Yeah, this is where I got up to yesterday, to this point. But the question is, an Isha, if you can send her a care package to the house, you're not afraid of Yichud. The guy goes into the house with the care package.
No. You send it like the postal department will bring it. You know what I mean? Leave it on the porch. Okay, what's the next question? Any other comments, questions? Yeah, so, that's even more onus, you want to say. So in that case, you want to say we should have Rachmanis on. I don't know what to say in that case. It's similar to what the Gemara said before. Like it sounds like here Chazal made one rule fits for every case, but before we didn't have one rule for every case because we said with the yichud and the grusha there we were, you know, tailoring it to the situation. So that I don't know. All right, I'm going to go further than the Gemara. We have a big daf, and I want to make sure we get through it. Okay, so we're on 15 lines down on Kuf Amud Aleph. Okay, everybody with me? So Tana Rabbana, we learned the Braisa, Ha'eved Ba'isha and Chutal and Truma V'Degoranot. So we said a woman and an Eved Kanani. It was the Eved Kanani of a Kohen. So Eved Kanani of a Kohen can eat Truma. And the Isha is the wife of Kohen. But notwithstanding that, we don't give them Truma in the Beit HaGarnot. We don't give it in the threshing floor. So we said that we don't give it to the woman because of Yichud or Grusha. We're afraid that maybe she'll get divorced. We won't know about it or it'll be Yichud with him. And the Eved, because we're afraid that we'll be Malal Yuchsin. We're afraid that if people see me giving Truma to the Eved, they'll see me on Eved. He's in a Kohen. You know, they'll leave him in a different situation. So, but then the Tana of the Braisa continues on. In a place that we do give it to the woman first. We don't understand these lines. We must be patient. And we discharge her right away. So the Gemara says, my comment, what does the Braisa mean? The first line of the Braisa, the Braisa says, we don't give the Isha any Truma. Second line of the Braisa says, when we have folic, we give her first. So which is it? Do we give her or don't give it? So the Gemara says, Haki Kamar. And in a place where we give Maser Ani, so it's talking the second part of Braisa, it's talking about a different distribution altogether. Maser Ani is lav dafka to, you know, a Kohenim, it's anybody who's poor. So when I'm giving to a poor person, so no nim li isha tchila, and Rashi points out that the Maser Ani you give in the house, and there are people around, so it's not a yichud problem with giving it. And then in addition to which, Rashi says, we give it in the house, he says, Bishim the lichsfu anim, the anim shouldn't be embarrassed, you know, that the whole world sees them getting it. So back in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, my taima, so why do we give it to the woman first? Bishim ziluta, because it's like degrading for the woman to like hang out and not give her the maser ani. In other words, like the way Roy Packer was saying, like the woman should be tsanua, she should be in her home, she shouldn't be hanging around everywhere. Just 1 minute and I'll pause in 3 lines. So Amarava. Rabbi said, "Meresha yavu atu gavri mitzvah ladina kamoi." Initially, when a man and woman come for a din before me, it means that each one, Rabbi's going to be ahead of a bezdin. So the man has got a din Torah with, let's say, another man. The woman has a din Torah with another woman. So they would come before me. Avashrina tikrit the gavra bereisha. So initially, I would resolve the man's case first. I mean, the mechayev mitzvot. I said he's chayev mitzvot. So it's chayev mitzvot. So one way you could say is, you know, I don't want to be mvatalim for mitzvot. You know, he has to do mitzvot, and he's here. He's not able to do mitzvot, so now I'll be free to do mitzvot. He says, "Kaven d'shaman alaha, shirina tigra this separation." Once I heard this din that with the master ani, we give it to the woman first. So now I resolve the woman's case first. So I don't do the man first; I do the woman's first. By tam yishum zilut, because it's degrading for her to have to hang out in the bezdin, and so because that's ziluta, so I take care of her case first. Okay, which one to say, Michael or anybody else? Well, not all the Marayim knew every Braisa, so I don't know what to say to that. I don't know what to say. In other words, it's one, the simple shot you could say, in Achinami, you didn't know the Braisa ahead of time. In other words, not every Amora knew every Braisa, you know, but I don't know what more to say. All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, I'm moving on. Okay. Now, let's just go over the Mishnah from last night again. Turn back to Sadi Tenamon Aleph, 2 lines from the bottom, on Sadi Tenamon Aleph, 99a, page 197, 2 lines from the bottom. So it says in the Mishnah, Kohen means the wife of a Kohen. Even the wife of Kohen, her child got mixed in with the offspring from a Shifcha, quite a you know, upsetting situation. So I don't know who's my son, I don't know who's the Shifcha, I don't know who's who, which is which. So both of them can eat truma because one is either the Kohen, one's the Eved of the Kohen or whatever. So either way, the Eved of the Kohen can also eat truma. They get one chelik in the Goren. In other words, between them, there's one Kohen, so they get one chelik in the Kohen. On top line on Sadi Tenu Beis, they each have to be machmir, they can't be mitam lemeitim. Only one is high of the Kohen. We don't know who the Kohen is. They don't know some nashim being shir beim tzu. They can't marry anybody. Because the Isha Kshera would be permitted to the Kohen, but prohibited to the Eved. The Eved Kanani is not allowed to marry an Isha. And then the Shifcha, they'll get a Shifcha, they can only marry the Eved Kanani, can't marry the Kohen. So there's no way they can marry. But if the mixture means the man, the two men got older and then they freed each other, we don't know who the master is and who's the servant, but each one frees the other one, so now they're definitely freed. So now they're free, but we don't know who the kohen and who the non-kohen is, so they can marry women who are ruid for a kuna. In other words, they can't marry a grusha, can't marry a chalutza, but we can do it that way. They both have to be careful not to be mitam lemeitim because we don't know who the kohen is. If b'meizid they were mitame themselves, they don't get malkot because we can't say b'vada'os that they are kohenim to be chayev with malkot. He says neither one can eat truma. Once they're freed, it's not the other one's not the eved of a kohen anymore. So that being the case, I don't know if the person's a kohen or not kohen, so they can't eat truma. If they ate truma accidentally, in mishalim keren v'chomesh, they don't have to pay a keren v'chomesh. Because I can't say with certainty that they're not kohenim, so they don't pay keren v'chomesh. V'enan cholkim al agoren, they can't go to the threshing floor to get truma because I don't know if anybody's a kohen, who's a kohen. One is a kohen, one's not. I don't know who's who. U'mochrin hatruma, whatever truma they have, if they're farmers, the kohen could be also a farmer. And then they're mafrish truma, so now they can't eat the truma, but they could sell the truma because, in other words, I can't, the kohenim can't force me to give it to the kuna because I could say it proves to me that I'm not a kohen. But they could sell the truma, and then bahadam shalahen, the money belongs to them. Then a cholking the kachay mikdash, they can't eat the kachay, they can't get a portion of the kachay mikdash, means the orot, the hides, the korbano that we were divvied up between the anshei mishmar, they don't get a portion of that. We don't let him kachim, means the way Rashi's per shot, if there's a bechor, we don't give either one of them the bechor. He says, ve'ein motzim shalahem idem, and if either one of them has a bechor, we don't force them to disgorge the bechor, because they could each say, proves to me that I'm not a kohen. So that's the portions of the pool and meat that are given to Kohanim, so they're potter from giving it. Again, the same idea. They can't prove that they're not Kohanim. Either one, if they have a bechor, they let it graze till it gets a mum. And then they'll eat it because we can't prove that they're not Kohanim. But only love chumri Kohanim and chumri Yisraelim, we give them the stringency of Kohanim and the stringency of Yisraelim. The Gemara is going to explain what that line means. Okay? Let me just do some of the Gemara and then I'll pause. Now, back in the Gemara. So we're around 15 lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Amud Aleph 100A, page 199, around 15 lines above where it gets wide in the two dots. When the mixture, the Kohen and the non-Kohen, got older, if they free each other, then men can get married. So he says, Shichru Ibai Yeni Lo Ibai Lo. He says, if they freed each other, it sounds like if they choose to, they could. If they choose to not, so they don't have to. He says, V'yamai Lisa Shichle Neyachol, but for Yeni Yachol. So this is like the case that the Gemara has. It's Mishnah in Masechet Gittin, in the fourth parak, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in about a year. The fourth parak has different mishnayot that they do things for Tikkun HaOlam. So the mishnah over there talks about Misha Chesiyav Chesiyav Ben Chorin. So he's caught between a rock and a hard place. Lisa Shifcha Inu Yafol, Lisa Bachorin Inu Yafol. He can't marry a free woman. He can't marry a Shifcha. So the Gemara ends up saying Beit Shammai says that Kokin Rabo L'Shakra. We force the master to free him, and then Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai at the end. So the Gemara says, so in this case, so neither one can get married. So what is it if they want to free each other? Why don't we force them to do it? So Amarava, Ema Kofan Otanam Shachrin says that. Rabbi says we should understand the Mishnah means that, well, we will force them. That's it. Okay. Now Nimalayim Chumrei V'Chulei, we said we give each one the stringencies. So they have we have a Kohen and a non-Kohen mixed together. We don't know who the Kohen is. We don't know who the non-Kohen is. One is definitely Kohen, one is definitely not a Kohen. So we give them the stringencies of who knows stringencies of Israel. So what does that mean? V'Chulei. Umay Hilchato. So a mincha offering, a meal offering in the base of Mikdash. So if it's a meal offering from Israel, so the Kohen, not one of the pair here, the Kohen takes a kmitza, he takes his fistful of the flour and burns it on the Mizbeach, and the Shirayim left over is eaten by the Kohen, if it's a mincha Israel. If it's a mincha Kohen, the Torah says, well, mincha Kohen, kalil tielo techel. The mincha of a Kohen is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. So what do we do with this one? In other words, each one wants to bring them in for it. So do we do kmitza? Don't do kmitza? Do we burn it all, not burn it all? So he says, Amar Pabla Mincha Tam, the Kmetzet Mincha Yisrael. We could do kmitza like Mincha Yisrael. Vein Anechelet Mincha Kohenim. But when I won't eat the Shirayim like the Mincha Kohenim. HaKetzad, HaKometz Karev Ba'atzmol, Vashron Karevim Ba'atzman. So Rav Papa says that we're going to do kmitza, and then we'll burn the kmitza on the Mizbeah. The Shirayim, it could be a Yisrael, but we're not going to eat it. We're going to burn it because it might be the Mincha of a Kohen, and then we'll burn it that way. So that's the way we're going to do it. So if it's a Yisrael's minchah, we got the kmitza in. If it's not a Yisrael's, we got everything burnt in. That's the way he wants to say it. So the Gemara says, Ikri Khan, Koshman with Yishima, Rebaal Tativa. This is a pasuk. It says, Kichos or Bechot Vashto Tatu Menu, Yishal Hashem. So Chazal in the pasuk is as if it's containing two different mitzvot in it. One is the word mimenu is superfluous in that pasuk. Ki chos or b'chol d'vash lo tachtiv mimenu yishal Hashem. So we're going to divide the pasuk. Ki chos or b'chol d'vash lo tachtiv mimenu. That if it's that's an unrelated halacha. If it's the very yeasty dough or the dvash, the honey, so we don't offer it as an offering to a kadosh baruch hu except for the bikurim. And then we'll say lo tachtiv mimenu. Yeah, lo tachtiru menu ishal Hashem. The second part of the pasuk we'll understand is that the mimenu, the shirayim, can't be offered as an offering to a kaddish baruch hu. So that's the part that's bothering him. So if we can't friend with lishem, a rebal tachtiru. So if you have shirayim, I'm not allowed to burn on the mizbeach. Here we're taking the shirayim and we're burning it on the mizbeach. So don't we run afoul of that halacha? So I'm going to read Rav Shimon Kazi, the masik lushem eats him, and it should be to Reb Lezer. That he's going to take the shirayim and say, if it really is shirayim, if it's the mincha of a kohen, so it's burnt, fine. If it's not the mincha of a kohen, my intent is that it should be burnt like wood on the mizbeach. That's my intent, like the Tana Reb Lezer says. So Reb Lezer is talking about a case in the Masechet Tzavachim. It talks about the evarim of a chatat that mixed in with the evarim and ola. Evarim and ola are all burnt on the mizbeach. The evarim of a chatat are not all burnt on the mizbeach, but they're mixed together. What do I do with it? So there's machloket tanaim over there, but Reb Lezer holds that I'll burn everything on the mizbeach, and the part that could be the chatat, or I'll have intent regarding the mixture, that if it's the chatat, my intent is not to offer it as an offering to a kadosh baruch hu, but simply to offer it like wood that's being burnt on the mizbeach. The Tanya Reb Lezer Omer, reach nichoach yatamala. The Tanya Reb Lezer says you can't offer as a reach nichoach like a sweet smelling aroma offering to a kadosh baruch hu, that you can't do. About tamala l'shem eitzim, you could offer it as wood, and that's the way we'll do it in this situation, and we'll be okay. That's what he wants to say. Now the chacham, that's the sheet of Tana Reb Lezer. The chachamim say not to do it this way. The chachamim say that you're going to leave the avarim off the mizbeach and let them sort of like rot a little bit. And then they'll go to Beit HaSreifa. They'll go where the korbanot, which are psulim, will be burnt over there. So the Gemara says, Hanichal Reb Lezer. So that works. That hezber works out well, according to Tan Reb Lezer, who says that, yeah, you have an option. If you're not sure, you'll say, I'm going to be offering this fuel. So fine, we're according to him. El Rabbanon Ma'itlamim, where the Chachamim who are mechulak with him. So what are you going to do now with this mincha, you know, between the one or the other of these young men are bringing to the Beis HaMikdash, what are we going to do with it? So he says here, the Adilot Reb Lazer Reb Shimon, that will treat like the Tan Reb Lazer Reb Shimon, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's son. The Tanya, Reb Lazer Reb Shimon Omer, now this, he's talking about a different case here. This is where you have in Vayikra Perakeh, the end of Parshas Vayikra, it talks about certain aveirot have a sliding scale, the wealthy, the medium, and the poor person. Like a person eats, you know, tumas mikdash with kadoshav, he walks into the base of mikdash in the state of tumah and didn't realize it. So there's different korbano, but dali dalos, the modest offering is a mincha, to bring a mincha. So it says over there in the pasuk, by tala kohen kamincha, it'll be for the kohen like a mincha. So some understand that it means that if the kohen, even though the kohen's mincha is normally all burnt on the mizbeach, if he brings this mincha kote, so then we'll do kmitza with it, and the shirayim will be eaten by Yisrael. So let's see. But one minute. Now the mincha Yisrael, the shirayim are eaten. I made a mistake. So we're going to do the kmitza on it, but the mincha of a Yisrael, you'd eat it, but I think this is also eaten. So it says, going khalil tia. So the komis will be offered, and the shirayim will be offered. 1 second. Yeah. So Reb Shimon says, I'm going to offer each one on the mizbeach separately as an offering. That's the way the Tana Reb Shimon says. And then his son, Reb Lazer Reb Shimon, says, the komis will be offered by itself, and the shirayim will be spread on the base hadeshen. The shirayim will be put in the base hadeshen, the base mikdash. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says here, so he says on the second wide line, El Rabbanan Ma'ichle Neymar. So he says, the Adiba Ke Reblas of Reb Shimon. Tani Reblas of Reb Shimon Omer, HaKomitz Karev La'atzmo, by the Minchon Chote, he says, you'll take a Kemitza and you'll offer it on his Mizbeach, HaShirayim Et Pazrin Al Beit HaDeshen. And the Shirayim, you'll offer on the Beit HaDeshen. Now the Beit HaDeshen is Machlok Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi takes it, it's the part near the Mizbeach where you throw the truma where the truma sedeshin is put down, and where portions of the bird korban are thrown. But the Bali Tosh would say there's a portion in the base of Mikdash where things are burnt and then put it over there. But Pilu Rabbanon lo pligile the Reblas of Reb Shimon, and even Reblas of Reb Shimon's father, Reb Shimon, who's cholik with him and says that everything is burnt on his Beach, he only holds that El Mincha Chote Shalkon in Baha Krabihi. There he holds, you're supposed to offer on the Mizbeach. Aval Hacha, Pilu Rabbanon Modu. Here, he'd be Moda that I don't know if it's supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach. So again, let's just summarize and move on. So so we said I have two men. One is a Kohen, one's not a Kohen. I don't know who's who. So we're going to give the Chumras of Kuna and Yisrael. So we don't know. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says it means that we're going to do Kemitza on like Minchas Yisrael. If they bring a Mincha, we'll do Kemitza like it. But the Shirayim will burn on the Mizbeach like the Mincha of a Kohen. So the Gemara says, how can you burn the Shirayim on the Mizbeach? You're not allowed to burn. There's a law in the Torah. It says, so anything that's left over, you can't burn as an offering. So the Gemara says, there will follow the Tana Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says that I can't offer it as an offering to Hashem, but I can offer it as fuel. So I have in mind, if it's Mincha Kohen, so it's offered to Hashem. It's not Mincha Kohen, it's fuel. As fuel. But that was subject to Machloket in the Gemara in the second Tzvachim. And the Chacham said that with the Ivarim that it mixed up, it's, you don't offer it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, so what are you going to do I have to offer, so what am I going to do? The Gemara says that you'll do like Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. Reb Lazar Reb Shimon is talking about the Minchah of Chote. Reb Lazar Reb Shimon says the Kometz is offered by itself and the Shirayim are spread out on the base Hadeshen. So that's, according to him, that would be that tzad. That's the way you do it. And even his father, who's normally mechulik with him, but that's by the mincha, where it's definitely has to be, it's in a mincha, but what I don't know, he'd agree with it. Okay, whose question comes to us? Anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right, now let's take a look. We're in the Mishnah on Kuf Amud Aleph, three lines to the bottom. Okay, we have a lot of Gemara, and we'll do as best we can in the half hour we have left. Okay, so manitim. Mishloshat ha'par bala shloshat ha'rashim benisei bialda. The woman, it doesn't have to be even situation. It means any woman doesn't wait 3 months after the termination of her first marriage. So it could be a divorce, death, whatever. She didn't wait 3 months, and then she married husband number two. He says, the Yalda, and she gave birth. And you're doing Ben Tishla Rishon Ben Shibla Achron. I don't know if this offspring is from a husband number one we'll call Reuven, husband number two Shimon. I don't know if it's Reuven's son or Shimon's son. He says, now we get into Yibam. Yilu Banim and Arishon or Banim and Asheni. Let's assume she had children with Reuven and children also with Shimon. So for this, you only need one other child. So let's assume she had one child, definitely Reuven's son, and one child, definitely Shimon's son, and one child, I don't know if it's Reuven's son or Shimon's son. So he says, Holtzin below Miyabin. So if he, this offspring who we don't know, what's a nice name for him? Okay, well, I'll call him David. Okay, so David. So David is the one, we don't know if David is Reuven's son or Shimon's son. So the Mishnah says, Holtzin below Miyabin. So his brothers, let's say he's got one brother from one and one, so he's got a brother by the half blood, he's got a brother from each side, which one of them, each one is definitely his paternal brother, but one of them is his, in other words, we don't know whether the brother from Reuven is his brother or the brother from Shimon is his brother. That we don't know. They're both right. So we don't know whether which is the brother. So the both of those brothers will do chalitza with the widow, and they won't do yibam. Wait, one second. So he was married, So she was married to Reuven, and then she's married to Shimon. Right. So again, so each one is definitely his brother. In other words, each one is definitely a maternal brother, but one of them is also a paternal brother. So for Erva, any brother is an Erva. In other words, the wife of my brother, it doesn't matter paternal or maternal, the Easter is still in. But the mitzvah Yibum is only with the paternal brother. So therefore, I don't know who's got the mitzvah Yibum and who's got the mitzvah Yibum together with the Easter Erva, who's got the mitzvah of just the Easter Erva. So therefore, neither brother can I let them do Yibum, but they'll both do Chalitza. They have to do Chalitza to matir her to the Shuk. Okay? He says, V'chein hulahem cholets v'lo miyabim. And similarly, he can only do Chalitza, not Yibum, for the same reason. In other words, one of them is only his maternal brother. He doesn't know which one that is. And one is also his paternal brother. Okay, now turn page on the top line on Kufam Beis. Ayulu achim en arishon v'achim en asheni shlomo ta'aim. Now, let's say, make it one brother. Let's say he has one brother from Reuven and one brother from Shimon, but Reuven was married to a different woman. Let's say the first wife was Rachel, but Reuven was married to another wife, let's say Leah. And he had a child, and then he married Rachel. So at the worst case scenario, whatever, is possibly he has a paternal brother, but definitely not a maternal brother. So it's just a possible paternal brother from Reuven, and a possible paternal brother from Shimon, but no maternal brothers. So he says, "Hayulu akim and arishon akim and asheni shlomi yataim hu cholei tzumiyabe." So in this case, he could do chalitza or he could do yibam. In other words, either there's a mitzvah or there's no mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah, there's no erva. So he could do chalitza if he chooses or yibam with the widow. Okay, I don't have a lot of time, so listen closely, okay? So Reuven was married to a different woman before Reuven was married to Leah, had a child. Then Reuven divorced or married another wife, Rachel. Then he had this child, or maybe had this child, we don't know. Then Reuven divorced Rachel, and then Rachel married Shimon. And then Rachel gave birth to a child. I don't know if he's Reuven's child or Shimon's child. And then Shimon went in and definitely had a child and had a child with a different woman other than Rachel. So there's two paternal brothers, no maternal brothers. In other words, everybody's got a different mother here. But this Safek, which we said was David, he could be a paternal brother to Reuven's child or he could be a paternal brother to Shimon's child. But he's not a maternal brother. So he can do Yibum or Chalitza. He says, Behem echar koleitz v'echar miyabim. So if he dies, so on one side they should do Chalitza, on the other side they should do Yibum. In other words, you have to do Chalitza because this might be the brother that's chayib in Yibum. I don't know. So when do Chalitza, now she's definitely free. So then, but maybe it wasn't a brother. So then they all won't do Yibum. If they both want to do Chalitza, I think it'll also be fine. Now, if one father was Yisrael and one was a Kohen, no say Yisha Ruhi the Kohen. We don't know if he's a Kohen or Yisrael. So he marries a woman that's Ruhi for a Kohen, meaning he can't marry Grusha Chalitza. But in Matam and the Matim, he has to be careful not to be Matam and the Matim, just like we had before with the Kohen and the Eved. He says, Bim Nitma, you know, Sofeget Arabayim, if intentionally becomes Tame, he doesn't get Malkot. He says, Eino Chel Betrumi, can't eat Trumi because we don't know if he's a Kohen or not. Bimachal, Eino Mishalon Ker Mechomish. And if he does eat, he's not going to pay Karen Mechomish because they say, prove to me that I'm not a Kohen. In a Kolek Alagoran, he can't go to the granary and get Truma. If he's a farmer, he raises crops, he can sell the Truma to a Kohen and get, in other words, the Sheva Kuna can't force him to give the Truma out because he can say, prove to me that I'm not a Kohen. But he can sell the Truma and then he can keep the money. In a Kolek Akache, and they say it should be a Mikdash. In other words, he doesn't get the or out of the Korban out. When you note him low at a Kachim, which the way Rashi said, we don't give him a Bechor. We don't force, if he has a Bechor, we don't force him to disgorge the Bechor. He's patur from giving the Zerol L'Chayayim V'Keva. Shaya? Okay. So he's patur from giving Zerol L'Chayayim V'Keva. His Bechor should graze until it gets a mum. And if he eats it, nobody can prove to him that he's not entitled to it.
We the stringency of Kumri Kohanim from Israel, as we did about the Korbanot, the Hayush name Kohanim.
Now, let's say both fathers, Reuven and Shimon, were Kohanim. So now, we don't know whether he's Reuven's son or Shimon's son, but we know he's definitely a Kohen.
He says,
onen alehem, he'll be an onen for each father. The Gemara is going to ask, how could he be an onen for each one? Because the first marriage was terminated, and yet we were thinking that he might be a kohen, but if it was grusha, so then it wouldn't be. But we'll see in a minute. He says, who onen alehem? He's an onenus for each one of the fathers. Behem onenim alav, and they would be onenus for him. Who eino mitame, and it means that he says, who eino mitame lahem, he can't become tame for them because they don't know for sure each one is the father. They mean him tame lo. Who eino yoreshotan, he can't yarshan either father. About him yorshan oto, they means mamon muta pasafik, that both fathers could get together. Let's say the son is multimillionaire, even if not, and he leaves an estate. So the two fathers can say, you know, I claim he's my son, I claim he's my son, and then we'll divide it down the middle. Upatur al makatobi al klatoshal zebishal ze. He, the son, would be patur if he hits or curses either father, because he can't say with certainty that he's the father. Oleb mishmaroshal zebishal ze. Where he's definitely a kohen, he'll serve in the mishmar of each father. Reino cholek. But he's not entitled to a portion, but to each mishmar could say you belong to the other mishmar. If both fathers were in the same mishmar, then no tel chelek echad. He gets one chelek. Okay, now, the Gemara says that one case we had on the top line of the Mishnah where he had paternal brothers, but not maternal brothers. So we said that, so he says, heim echad choletz v'echad miyabein. So if he dies, one brother is going to have to do chalitza from one side. The other side will do yibum. So he says, Gemara, dafka mechlatz v'had yibum. You have to do the chalitza first and then the yibum. About yibum of reish alav, you can't have one do yibum and then the chalitza. The kapaga b'yibam l'shuk, because it might be that he's not really the yibum situation, and so he's not related to this woman, so there's no problem with erva, but it's yibam l'shuk, so I have to make sure the other side did chalitza. Okay, now, okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good so far? Okay, moving on. Okay, so we're the 10th line. So once it's the mamon of the Shevet Kahuna, but it loses its status of kachim, and even a non-kohen could eat it. Okay? Now, Amar Shmuel, the 10th line. Amar Shmuel, Asra Konim Omdim, Upisha Chamihem Uba'al, Havlat Shtuki. Let's say you have 10 kohenim who are standing in a group. One of them goes off and has relations with a woman, and we don't know which of the kohenim did it, but we know a kohen did it. So the offspring is the shtuki. So my shtuki, if it means that we silence him from any claim to his father's estate, cheat him. We don't know who the father is. In other words, we know one of the kohen went off. We don't know who. It's like a who done it. So of course he's not going to be able to get a chelak from the Yerusha. So that's the Rishmul's din. That he, even though we know 100% for certain that he is a kohen, because we know that one of his fathers, all 10 are kohenim. So his father is one of the 10 people. So we know he's definitely a kohen, but notwithstanding that, he's not entitled to a vote in the Beis Hamikdash. He says, "My taima, Amar Krav, I tell those the Roach Harav." It says by Pinchas, "There'll be for him and his progeny after him, but in Zarom Yuchasach Rav Aleka." That in order to be a kohen serving the Beis Hamikdash, not enough that we know with certainty that you're a kohen. You have to be Yuchas. We have to know your genealogical line. Okay, so that's Shmuel's din. The Gemara is going to spend the rest of the Amud, you know, arguing about Shmuel's din. So Makiv la Rapapa. So Rapapa asks a strong kasha against this. Elamiata Gabi Abram Dechiv Yolachal Elokim Zarecha Horecha. So it's a similar turn of phrase by Amar Ravinu. Again, by Pinchas it says Vayta Lo Zarevach Ra. For him and his progeny afterwards, that we need like to be able to trace the genealogy. So by Avram he says Yolachal Elokim Zarecha Horecha. To be, I'm entering into this covenant with you to be your God and to your progeny afterwards. Hatamai Kamazar Li Rachmana. What is the Kaddish Baruch Hu admonishing Avram Avinu? In other words, by the Kohanim, so I say, yeah, I don't know who the father is, so I can't serve the Avoda. But if I have 10 Yisraelim, and one of them goes out and has relations with a woman, and they have an offspring, so what is there to include or not include? Is he's Jewish, so what's doing? So Hachi Kamar Lei, this is what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying to Avram Avinu, Lo Tinsa V'Vedek L'Chavim Shivcha, don't marry a non-Jewish woman, or a Shivcha Kanani. The lasers are a chabatra, so your offspring are not traced in her line. That's what it means over there. So in Achinami, you have to know what the line is, but determine who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. And then there's a question, if we have time, we'll talk about it. How is Avram Avinu able to marry Hagar, who's a his mother, his wife, Shifcha Kanani, or in this case, Misri, but the same idea. All right. Now, the basic halakha that we learned is that if you can't be Shmuel's din, if I can't trace the genealogical line, the Kohen is not entitled to serve a vote on the base of Mikdash. That's what Shmuel said, and he based it, and he says that on the Pasuk, Vaitelo Zaroach Harav. So maybe, and this we ask a kasha from the following Braisa, Rishon Ruulio Kohen Gadol. Now, this is talking about a Yibam situation where a Yavam did not wait 3 months to do Yibam. In other words, his brother, he and his brother were Kohenim. The brother died. Now he's a Chi of Yibam. But he doesn't wait 3 months to do the Yibam with his widow. So, and then they have an offspring. So we don't know if the offspring is from husband one or husband two, but either way, we know the offspring was a Kohen that we got. So he says, Rishon Ruulio Kohen Gadol. So the Braisa says the first offspring could even be a Kohen Gadol, which is going to be a Kasha against Shmuel. I don't know who the father is, but he could be the Kohen Gadol. It sounds not like what you're saying, Shmuel. So, but the Gemara, then the Braisa continues to say, the later offspring is the Safik Mamzer. Because the first offspring, I don't know if he's the first son of the first or the son of the second. The second offspring, he might be the son of the second, and the first one might be the son of the first. So if the first one's the son of the first, then it was wrong to do Yibam. So if it's wrong to do Yibam, it means that he married Eshet Achiv. He married his brother's wife. That's an erva. So this one, the second child is a Safik Mamzer. But the first child is ruled to be Kohen Gadol. So Vabinan Zarum Yuchasach Rav Lekav. That's Kash against Shmuel. He says, I need Zarum Yuchasach Rav. Here is not Zarum Yuchasach Rav. And yet the time the Bryce says, it could be a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Zarum Yuchasach Rav Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, this Bryce is talking about it in Torah. The fact that Shmuel says he needs Zarum Yuchasach Rav, so even Shmuel is only saying on a Rabbanan level, you have to be Zarum Yuchasach Rav. He says, Ukras Machtab Alma. The Pasuk that we darshan out is just like a support from the Pasuk, but it's really a Din Rabbanan. Okay. Now, then the Gemara says, "V'chi gazer rabbanon b'znut." When the Chachamim made this gezeira that he has to be miuchas, he meant in a znus situation. So then I need to be miuchas achrab. So where you had 10 kohenim and goes off and has a fling with a woman, and I don't know who the father is, so he can't serve in the base of mikdash. V'nisuin l'gazer rabbanon. So here, even though I don't know who the father is, there's not even a din rabbanon. So skip what I said before. Deraisa. You're even on a Dindrabanim, he can be the Kohen Gadol, because there was some marriage. Now, it's a marriage, but it's maybe not a marriage. The marriage, the first one was a marriage. The second one, Yibam, in quotation marks, might not be Yibam, because it might be Eshet Achiv, but there is like some ceremony, so there's no Gzeirah Drabanim. All right, now, okay, is everybody good so far? Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? So the basic din, let's just repeat. The basic din went in a Shmuel's din, that you need Miuchas Achra, but it's not enough for Kohen to know that he's a Kohen. He has to know who his Yichas is. On a din derabanan to serve in the base of mikdash, but the Gemara says it's only where there's znus involved, like a union outside of marriage. But if it's a union in marriage, then he doesn't need to be miuchas. What's up?
The second child, everyone agrees.
Anyway, again, the second child is a different parsha. That's a stopping mom's heir. But everybody's a stopping mom's heir. But the first child, the Tana of the Bryce says, could even be a Kohen Gadol, even though I don't know who his father is. So everybody would agree to that. Okay. So it's only when there's a Znus situation that I need Miuchas. Okay. Everybody good? Let's go. Now the Gemara says, Ubiznut mi gazer rabbanan. Now the Gemara is bringing a Kasha against Shmuel. Shmuel says, if it's a Znus union, I need be other Miuchas Achra. We can't be Miuchas Achra, Rabban Achla, Sir, and the base of Mikdash. Is that true? But now we quote from our Mishnah, Mishlo Shata Karbala Shoshat Farashim. If a woman didn't wait 3 months after her husband, after the marriage terminated, Nisei Bialda, and then she had another child from the second marriage. So the Gemara ended up saying that, if both husbands were Kohenim, so he's a Kohen. So now the Gemara is going to try to prove that we're talking about Zanus here. So again, if they were both marriage situations, then we said it's an exception. But the Gemara is going to try to prove that when the Mishnah is talking about is that the first union was really Zanus, and it wasn't marriage, they're just living together. So Maya Achar Bala, what does it mean that she didn't wait after her husband? Ilei Achar Mita Bala, if it means after the death of her husband, it says Eima Seifa, but the Seifa says, Hu Onein Alehem, that the offspring who's, a Kohen is an Aninus for both of his fathers, and they're owning for him. So it could be that even if the father had been dead before he was born, we could have a situation where he, the offspring, would be onain for both fathers. Bashkachla ben Yisuin Desheni, where the second marriage was Nisuin and he dies, and many years after the first husband died, it could be Likarat Samot. Remember, Zman Chazal, they would bury the person, and then after the flesh would decompose, they would, you know, disinter the bones and then rebury the bones. But you have to do, you know, you get a din, at least in you know, dinim of Avelis, you know, on the day of Likarat Samot. Says Elahim on Nimalav, Hechi Mashkachat Lo. He says, but the Tana of the Mishnah says that they, both husbands, could be owning him for him. So it sounds like not that the, in other words, how is the first marriage terminating? So the first marriage, we thought maybe terminates, he dies, and then he's free to fall, marry husband number two. But how, but the Tana Mishnah says that they're owning him for him, so he can't be died. Kama Hamitla, he's the first one, he said, is dead. How does that work? So Ve'ela Begrusha. So the other choice is, he divorced her. He says, Umaya far bala, far get bala. What does it mean after the husband? It means after husband number one gave her a get. Ema seifa. But let's go to the next door, later part in the Mishnah. Hu ein metame lahem. He, the offspring, cannot be metame to either father, quote unquote. Behem ein metame lo. They can't be metame for him. So b'shlema hein ein metame lo l'chuma. B'chol chabaka dimala berehu. So I understand they can't be mitame, neither father, in quotation marks, can be mitame to the offspring, because maybe he's not their son. Maybe he is their son, he's not their son. Fine. Ella, who ain't mitame lahem, he, the son, can't be mitame to them, am I. Mishleim l'sheni loli tame lay. So the second father, he can't be mitame, because if, in other words, we're talking about, he says, because he might be, in other words, he might be a Kohen, in other words, he might be a Kohen, and this might not be his father. But for the first husband, if the first husband dies, he, the offspring, should be able to be metametim under any scenario. Why? If he's in truly his son, so a Kohen is allowed to be metametim to his father. He's a metametim. And if indeed he's the son of the second husband, who was also a Kohen, but we said it was Grusha here. So Shapir Kamatame Lay, the Chalal, who is a Chalal. So a Chalal has none of the dinim of Kuhuna, so that doesn't work out either. So again, we're trying to find out, how did the first marriage terminate? So one was that he died, but that didn't make sense, because the Mishnah says that he could be Onain for them. How has he died? It doesn't work. And then he said, maybe Grusha, but Grusha doesn't work, because it says he can't be Mitami to either one, so he'd be able to be Mitami to the first. El Lav Biznut. So having, you know, pursued those alternatives, so the alternative is left, is the first marriage, quote unquote, was not a marriage, just she was living with him. So what does the Tana mean that she didn't wait 3 months after Baala? It means she didn't wait 3 months after whatever they had the cohabitation. She didn't wait 3 months after that. Now we're going to go into the clincher. The Katana is safe, and then we, notwithstanding that, we learn in the safe of the Mishnah, that he, the offspring, serves the mishmar of both fathers. So again, we think the situation is that Rachel was not married to Reuven, she just had an affair with him. And then she moved on from him, and then she married Shimon the Kohen. So then she has an offspring. We don't know if it's Reuven's son or Shimon's son. So it means we don't know if David, the offspring, David the Kohen, we know he's a Kohen because both fathers were Kohenim, but even though he's not miyuchas, because we don't know, we can't say with certainty whether his father is Reuven or Shimon, apparently David the Kohen can serve at the base of Mikdash, because the Tana Mishnah says he serves in the father's mishmar, he serves in the other father's mishmar. So he is serving. That's kash against Shmuel. Shmuel says you're not miyuchas, you can't serve in the base of Mikdash. Here, the only hesber in the Mishnah is that you can take Gemara. We have a Gemara over there. Please take in the corner. Okay. So he says the tiyuf to Shmuel. So now Shmuel is all upgishlat. Okay, this is right up here. You want to study Kuna. We're studying Dina and Kuna now. Okay, so get the Gemara. Go straight. You see the pile of Gemara's on the side? There you go. That's it. Okay, now, okay, page 200. We're 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, now. All right, now. Amar Rav Shmaya. So Rav Shmaya wants to learn a pshat in the Mishnah to justify Shmuel's holding. So the difficulty we had was, how do we have a situation where the first marriage terminated, but it can't be a death and it can't be a divorce, and nevertheless, he's ruhi to serve in the base of Mikdash. So Amr Shmaya bin Ma'ene. So it could be maybe she was a minor, and in other words, she was married by her mother or brothers. The father was out of the picture. And then she exercised her right for miyun before she was 12. That could be the situation, we think. So in other words, she was pregnant when she was under 12. So the Gemara says, ma'enet mi kiyalda. Would a ma'enet be able to give birth to a child? He says, do you have the place that Bruce? Okay. Bahatani Rabibi coming to Rav Nachman. Rabibi taught the following braisa before Rav Nachman. There are three women who are entitled to have relations with a moch. Moch is a wad. It's like a form of contraception. It means that it's a whole sakana for her to become pregnant, so or for the offspring, and so she's allowed to exercise this method of birth control. He says, "Ketanim uber dominika, a minor child, a pregnant woman, or a nursing mother. Ketana shemit daber b'tamud. The ketana, we're afraid that she'll become pregnant and will die. She won't be able to handle the pregnancy, so she can be mishamish b'moch. Mu'uberet, the pregnant woman." She's carrying a child. We're afraid that she'll get the Gemara takes it that she get another child, and then one child will press against the other child, and it won't be good. Sandal is tight. Or please hold off questions. Like pause. I don't take questions in the middle. Okay, wait. Okay, let's pause. Okay, now and sandal is a type of fish. It means they'll press. Okay, or it might be a sandal, but it means they'll be pressed flat. Menika and the nursing woman. We're afraid that she'll stop weaning the child because she'll be pregnant with child number two, and then he'll die. Okay. Now, be'ezu hi katana. Now we want to focus on the katana. She's the mema'enet. Be'ezu hi katana. Ibarachad estration of yom echad. Adbat shtem estration of yom echad. So we're talking about an 11 to a 12 year old. It's the katana that could become impregnated but can't bear it because she'll die. Pachot mikan o yetro kan mishameshet kedarka v'lechet d'rameir. If she's younger than that or older than that, she could be mishamish because either she won't become impregnated or she'll be able to bear the child. The Chachamim say that everybody they'll be mishamish kedarkam and mishamayim should have rachamim on them. Shneimar shomer p'tayim Hashem, the God guards the simple people. Okay, now. Now, the point from this braisa that we have to get from the braisa is, the braisa takes it that a girl below the age of 11 cannot conceive. That's A. That a girl between 11 and 12 could conceive, but can't bear a child. And above 12, we're not. Now, Mema'enet is only below 12. So here, we want to say pshat in the Mishnah was, the first marriage was Mema'enet, but she's giving birth. But we just said you can't give birth 11 to 12. So that doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, so that shot is out the door. And I'll come to you in a minute if we have a minute. Okay, Bruce. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, there's still a way to taichin Shmuel's Hezber in the Mishnah. The first marriage could have been with Kiddushei Taud. Kiddushei Taud is where the husband is Mekadosh Isha with a Tanai. Let's say he says, I'm a Kiddush to you on condition that I'm a multimillionaire. And then he has relations with her. And then it turns out he's not a multimillionaire. So that's the end of the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin are history at that point. So he says, Now it says in Parsha Nasa, which was just last week's Parsha Shavua, that the woman wasn't forced. It's by the Sota. So Asura. And it passed the Teret. So the Gemara darshens out that if she was forced into a relationship, so then she's permissible on the husband. You have another woman that even though she wasn't forced to have relations, she's still permissible. It means that, right, where the first marriage, in other words, the first marriage was with Kiddushei Taur. So she wasn't forced into it, but it's still not going to be a marriage. He says, Shafilu ben Amor kablak tifa, even if she's like, her child is riding on her like piggyback, he says, she can still say, I'm out of this marriage. I'm out of here. It's miyun. So in other words, it's not really the formal miyun, but in other words, she can still say, I'm out of it. It doesn't mean miyun like we were saying before, but it means I'm out of here. So the case in the Mishnah, the Gemara ends up saying that there is a way to explain the Pshat in the Mishnah in accordance with Shmuel. So Shmuel says that if the Kohen doesn't know his yichus, he can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a case of znut, that's when Shmuel's halakha applies. So it could be, to reconcile it with Shmuel, that we would say that the case in the Mishnah is where the first marriage was, he was married to a woman that he married with a Tanai, and then the Tanai got vacated, and then she married husband number two, and both husbands were Kohanim, and it doesn't run afoul of Shmuel's halacha. So even though I can't say with certainty whose offspring he is, I can say with certainty that it was a Kohen. I can say with certainty that they were both marriages, but one got vacated. One got vacated with the Kiddush Tower. Say again, what? Well, it was right in order to ask Akash against Shmuel. So since we have a way out of that, we could still sustain Shmuel's din. Now let me just see which way if the halakha is like Shmuel though. One second. Where's Shmuel's halakha? He says, yeah. So it looks like the halakha looks like it is like Shmuel. Now we have a minute or two questions. Okay, Bruce, let me hear your question. It can't happen. Right? What did you want to say? All right. What's your next question? Okay, good. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
I have a question.
Nice and loud. Go ahead, Ruth.
And sequenced, how is it possible for a woman to be married to a Kohen and a second Kohen with if she's a Grusha or if she's...
Ruth, listen, we went through each scenario. So Grusha, we couldn't work out because then he'd be a Chalal from husband number two. And then we said, and then if he died, it didn't work out into the Mishnah. So the Gemara ended up saying, at the end, the Gemara has this case. You could have Kiddushei Taus is one case, but the first marriage got annulled in essence because the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. That's one case. Then we had the other case we said was that, is nuts. That would be the other case where the first marriage wasn't a marriage. He just had a fling with her. That would be the other case. Okay. Now let me just do a story and that'll be it. Okay. Everybody ready for a story? Okay. This is just the 18th century European Enlightenment movement. Hail the intrinsic equality. Please, I need to focus just one second, Michael. Okay. The 18th century European Enlightenment movement. Hail the intrinsic equality of all humanity. For Jews, this was to come to mean that the non-Jews of Europe were willing to extend new rights and privileges to Jews, as long as they were willing to jettison their, quote, outdated, unquote, and particularistic traditions and laws. Torah-observant Jews were considered anti-progressive and often remained victims. Okay, fine. So everybody should intermarry. Now, then he talks about the Reform Movement had this meeting in 1844, and they said that they're opposed to Bris Mila, and also the Jews shouldn't be connected with Jews everywhere. But especially they said that everybody Jews can intermarry. They said the marriage of a Jew with any adherent of a monotheistic religion is not forbidden if the civil law permits the parents to raise in the Jewish religion the children issuing such a unit. So
I'm missing half of what you're saying, Kosi.
Listen to the next 30 seconds.
I'm listening very hard.
The Reform Movement had a meeting in 1844. They said Jews can intermarry if the other partner is a monotheist and is willing to raise the child in Judaism. Okay, now. This radical position, of course, stands in complete contradiction to the Gemara in Yevamot on Kufam Beis, which prohibits intermarriage based on a Torah verse. The Rama maintains that such an affair is the worst of all illicit relationships. Any children are born of a non-Jewish mother are a complete loss to Jewish people. When Rishon Salanter heard about this appalling decision, he said, the eventual result of Jews permitting intermarriage is that non-Jews will forbid it. And then 90 years later, in 1935, the Nuremberg Laws were instituted, and the non-Jews did forbid it with the... Well, you know, that in other words, like the Jews were permitting it. So Salanter said, you know what, the Goyim are going to come and enforce it, and they did. Okay, that's going to be it. Let me just end the recording. One second.